Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good, not just summertime, but God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. We're so thankful to God for His many blessings of life. We're so thankful that He's allowed us to see just another day. It wasn't promised to us. Many didn't see it this morning, but God has blessed us, those who are listening to me, to be able to have a reasonable amount of health, to be able to join this call and hear from the Word. If you're on the call, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. We pray that you will enjoy your study with us. Open your Bible. We believe that the Bible has all the right answers as it pertains to saving our souls. We believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary, suffered there humiliating, excruciatingly painful death. Not that we ever saw that with our own eyes, but because of this book. It was Him who, after He resurrected, gave the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The story of His suffering, His death, burial, and resurrection on a cross. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's what one must do in order to be saved. Not only did He shed blood that will wash our sins away, Revelation 1:5 teaches us that, but He also purchased the church, Acts 20 and verse 28, with that same blood. That church is referred to as the Church of Christ in the Bible. The Bible says to save the end of the church. We went through some tough times, y'all, with the weather, but we'll talk about Wednesday, how in our Bible class, how God uses snow and all these things. Hell, everything has treasures. We need the snow. We need the ice. It does things for the earth. The man don't won't appreciate unless he read the Bible. And also the Bible teaches us that not the earth will not cease from having seasons such as winter and summertime. And these things will happen. These things are going to happen, and God has said they're going to happen. It's not the first time we've had storms, but there will be more. It's been this way since the beginning of time. And so we just got to remember that God is going to do what He has to do to take care of His creation. And the wintertime is just as important as the summertime. And that's what we need to keep in mind. Keep that in mind. So God is moving in the world. We got a pandemic. I call it the cold. We got both the COVID and the cold we had to deal with. But God is still on the throne. And so we're thankful that He's there and thankful that He's watching over us. If you appreciate God, then you appreciate all that He does to bless us in this world. Now, this morning, as we continue our study of the book of Acts, we are in Acts chapter 12. And the disciples have been called Christians first in Antioch. We just learned about that last week. Just now call them Christians. Now, in chapter 12, verse 1, this is where we'll start at this morning's sermon. Titled Peter was kept, the key word there, kept, in prison. Kept in prison. Now about that time, verse 1, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Here's a man in power, a king. King Herod is vexing, harassing the church. And has killed the apostle James with a sword. Or some say at that time the way they did it was cutting off their head with a sword. He's the first of the apostles to lose his life for Christ. And we know this cannot be the one that wrote the book of James, because this is well dated well before the book of James. So we must remember, though, as the apostles, the leaders of the Church of Christ at that time, were standing out front. He was on the front line. And these men were giving their lives for the cause of Christ. If the devil going to ever attack anyone, all of us brothers on this call must understand that as leaders, that we should be willing to be out front and take care of the church from the wolves, take care of the church from false doctrine. Make sure our wives and children are safe at home, as these were And I talked about that last week. The church apostle sent many of the members of the church home. We won't read where women and children were killed because of the persecution, even though many of some may have. But they sent them home until it was safe for them to come out. As leaders, we have to make decisions about what's best for the whole. God has given me and brothers, we have the leadership in our homes to take care of our families and children. And in the church, God done the same thing for the children of God. He put me in to be leaders. And we pray today God will bless you up here on the call this morning to be a man of God and willing to stand up and take what comes with life as a Christian. You can sometimes, as we see here, that leaders will suffer and members will suffer, not because they've done anything wrong necessarily, but because they're trying to live a Christian life and stand for Jesus. Now listen to why Herod killed this man, James. In verse 3 he said, because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were days of the unleavened bread. This man, Herod, arrested Peter. Why? Because he saw what he did by killing James pleased the people. I mean, we know that it's evident that people who are in political positions, hopefully not all, but most part you see this happening even in our world. Political leaders do what pleased the people. Doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. Their desire is to please the people. So they get notoriety and recognition for themselves. You know, even Pilate delivered Jesus to be crucified. He was a political figure as well. Knowing he knew Jesus was innocent. Matthew 27:24. When Peter saw that he prevailed nothing, but that rather a turmoil was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. And he knew he was just. Pilate said, I'm innocent of the blood. You can't be innocent when you're taking the life of someone that's just. That's never innocence. That's innocence in his own mind because God wasn't involved in his decision. It was a political decision. Just like with Herod here, and just like we see in America. It doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. You got to understand when people are ungodly, they're sinners. They do things that does not please God. We have to understand as Christians, we stand on Jesus. We stand on his belief, his faith. What Jesus taught is what we must believe, what we must continue to act upon. And verse 4, when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, another leader, Peter, one of the apostles who preached the first gospel sermon, he's put in prison. He is watched by four squadrons or 16 soldiers on one man to watch him. Now, this thing Easter here has nothing to do with what we see today with the bunny rabbit laying chicken eggs. That's all man-made stuff. This is a Jewish festival. It's a Jewish Passover. That's all that was. Had nothing to do with what people claim today is Easter, the day of resurrection. Got nothing. You can see that right here in this day. Had nothing to do with Jesus' resurrection. It never has. A rabbit laying chicken eggs. That ought to ring clear to everybody. Do you know that? That didn't come from God. That's a man-made doctrine. I'll just throw that in there. But we are commanded to remember. We did that this morning. We remember that Jesus died when we took communion. And we drink of the blood. And took of the bread. But here he is. Peter's arrested. Verse number 5 is where I get my title from. Now he's arrested. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Kept in prison. The intent was for him not to be able to undo his condition. The word kept there is intended for him, for us, not be able to leave the state that they're in at the time. That's kind of what I want to put emphasis on, even on this morning, that Peter was kept in prison. Kept in prison. That's important for us to know this, that this is a situation that Peter did not ask to get in. Peter did not know it was coming. However, the intent there was for Herod was to keep him in prison. And being kept in prison is something that we need to understand that can happen to us. Something can happen. The intent of it is for us to stay where we are, to be in that same state and not ever get out of it. The devil wants us to be kept in prison of sin. Kept there and never get out. There says one in the state in which he is, he must be kept, metaphorically speaking, to keep him there. Now, with that in mind, let's talk about this. He's kept there. But notice what the Bible teaches. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church, notice, unto God for him. For who? The one who was kept, intended to stay where he was, in the state that he was in, locked up in prison, innocently. Innocent man was to be kept where he was. So what happens? While Peter was kept in prison, the Christians started praying. Who's praying? The church. Who's the church? Members of the church. Who are members of the church? Those who were baptized in water for the remission of sins. Those who God added to the church, Acts 2:47, those people have something that Herod don't have. What do they have? They have prayer power. Who do they pray to? God. Who was they praying for? Peter. What was going on with Peter? He was being kept. He was intended. Herod intended for him to stay in a condition of imprisonment. But how often did they, how long did they pray? They didn't stop. It was without ceasing. There's a lesson here now. This is called the prayer of intercession on behalf of others. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Paul teaches Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, there it is, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Notice what he said, for kings. For kings, this is like for us, for president. He said, we pray for them. For all that are in authority, police officers, governors. What are we to do? Be mad at them, upset at them? No. He said, we pray. This is a command from God. That Christians pray for all that in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Notice this now. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. What's good? For Christians to pray for kings. Have you prayed for the President of the United States? Have you prayed for those in positions of authority? Or are you rioting? Or are you going against? Or are you rebelling? Or are you, what are you doing? Christians. Peter, Paul tells Timothy, this is good, you all, and acceptable in whose eyesight? God, who will have all men. That's something we got to remember. All souls matter. All of us need to understand who will have all men to be saved. What should be our mindset when it comes to political leaders? They should be, we want them to be saved. This is the way we should be thinking, not hating, and come to the knowledge of the truth. But the greatest thing that could happen to the White House, y'all, the gospel be preached to them, and they be saved. Come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know, maybe someone on the call this morning, you on this call because somebody prayed for you. Somebody had made an intercession prayer on your behalf. Someone had been praying because you kept in prison. See, if we don't pray for our friends and family members who are kept in their prison cells of sin, our children who are out there living as if there is no God, in a world where it looks like nothing matters to people, God has no place in their life, they're going to be kept in prison. But prayer can change things. What you need, if you're going through something, you're in the same state you was in last year, the same sinful condition, the same state of mind that you are in, what you need is the church praying for you. How much we ought to pray without ceasing, that's what the Bible says. Let me say, there's power in prayer. The whole church, this is not just one congregation, all across the nation, all across the world, praying. This is one reason we all need to be faithful to God and faithful to prayer requests. When people make them, that we listen to them. One of the things that used to disturb me so much in the church is when you give the invitation, you see Christians walk out at the end of the sermon. They got what they needed, but they never stayed around to listen to the prayer request. How sad it is to know the person, the so-called Christian, not even interested. They're more interested in their beans on the stove at home than they are the prayer requests of the saints. Isn't that sad? I hope that's not you. You wouldn't be one of those who will walk out at invitation every Sunday. Will you hang up today at the prayer request? I mean, if you just hang up as soon as the sermon is over, you got what you needed. But you didn't listen to the invitation. You didn't listen to the prayer requests of the friends and family members or our visitors because you had other things more important. Do you think God is pleased with us if we don't give attention to the needs and prayer requests of our friends, family, loved ones? Is it only when you need prayer that you want us to listen to you? Is it only when you need something that you want the church praying for you? Are you thinking about what I'm saying? Now, I know many are guilty of this. Many are guilty of this. Just think about how many times have you hung up right after I preached on the call? You want to ask now? No, I can see you when you go off. I'm looking at it. Why would you not listen to one of our church members who are hurting? Their mama's in hospital. Their grandmother's in the hospital. They just lost a loved one. My son is sick. My wife is sick. My husband is sick. I'm going through hardship. But you hung up. So you can't pray for them because you don't even know what they asked for. I pray God this morning will change your heart on this matter, or you'll be kept in that same prison unit. That's a prison. Do you know that? That's someone who has nothing but selfish desires. You're kept. You're kept in your prison. I'm going to hammer on this all the way through this lesson. Help me. You're going to stay in that same state of unforgiveness, not having a heart to love others, to love, to help others, to have a desire to know what's going on with the family that you are associated with. Watch the power of prayer. when Herod, verse 6, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept in prison, kept the prison. Here's Peter in his prison cell, all alone, sleeping between two soldiers and bound with two chains, with soldiers standing at the door, quadrant. Herod wanted to make sure that it was almost impossible for this brother to be rescued or to escape. He was trying to make it impossible for other Christians to help Peter escape this unjust arrest. And maybe somebody on the call this morning, you kept in prison. You are between two soldiers of problems. You go to sleep, or you went to sleep last night, with these same problems all around you in your life. And you don't even see a way out of your prison. Some of us are in our same place we've been for a long time, bound by two chains of problems, if you let me allow me to use this application here. Two chains of problems in prison. Kept. You're still there. How many of you can reflect on your life and look back and see you have the same problems now that you had last year this time, and the year before, and the year before that? You kept. You locked down by chains. Just maybe you're still bound because you have not even asked for prayer. Because you have not even sought God to release you from your prison, and you kept right there. Oh, you ought to ask this morning that the church pray for you. Don't just ignore the invitation when I give it. It's a chance for you to plead with God and to have the church praying for you, because when the church prays, when Christians pray, there's power in the prayers of intercession. How many of you on this call need God to intervene in your life? Do you need God to intervene in your life? Or will you remain in the state you're in because nobody prayed for you? In verse 7, he says, now remember, the church is praying without ceasing. In verse 7, he says, watch God respond. He says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. His chains fell off from his hands. Look at this. What's going on? God is responding. He sends an angel because the church was praying without ceasing for Peter. Listen to the story. Verse 8, read along with me. And the angel said unto him, talking about Peter, gird thyself, put your clothes on, bind on thy sandals, put your shoes on. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast your garment about thee and follow me. Put your clothes on and follow me. Get up, gird on, put your cloak on, coat on. And he went out and followed him. And wist not that it was true what was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter don't, he think he's just having another one of those visions. Remember he had that one that trance on top of the housetop before he went to the Gentiles. Now he thinks he's seeing another vision. And when they were past the first and the second war, They came unto the iron gate. So he was at two prison wards. He had to go through these different wards to get to the outer gate. It was the iron gate. The lead unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. So the gate is even responding to the angel. The gate just opens up on one accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And the forthwith the angel departed from him. Peter was coming to himself. He said, now I know of surety that the Lord has sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. You know, how many times have you looked back in your life? Said, man, that couldn't have been nothing but God. I know I have. I mean, couldn't nothing but God got me out of that situation. After the fact, you look back and you say, man, that was God moving in my life. How many of you on the call can come up with a moment like that? So, man, it had to be nothing but God. It's kind of where Peter's at here. Man, I know sure now. It was God. And when he had considered the thing, he thought about it. We ought to think about it. That's what we should be doing, even as I'm speaking this morning. And hopefully I'll touch some of you where it kind of bothered you that I said something about what you're doing. It should, because you got a conscience. When you got a conscience, everything I say shouldn't sound good to you. Some things ought to prick your heart, make you think. Me too. I'm not out of the picture here. I'm saying all of us. Some point, you got to think about it. If you got a conscience, just like what I talk about with the prayer. If you got any conscience, you will never do that again. You'll never hang up without listening to what people ask for prayer. You won't do that no more if you got a conscience. But if you don't have a conscience, it won't bother you. But the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing in the body and asunder of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, watch this, and the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, when I'm preaching the word, it's supposed to prick your heart. It's our heart. It's supposed to make us think. It's supposed to get our hearts in a better place for God. It's supposed to pierce our conscience, and that causes repentance. What kind of repentance? Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto death. Godly sorrow. When we're sorry about what we do, then we come to repentance. We stop doing those kind of things when it's brought to our attention. Hebrews 4:12. That's the first word of the Word of God. It's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. James 1:21. But the Bible says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. What is the purpose of our hearts being pricked? To save our soul. Because we won't come to repentance unless our conscience is pricked. Unless our conscience is tapped into. And if it's serious, it's like water on a duck's back. It just rolls off. Is that where you are? Are you in that prison? Are you kept there? Is it too late? Not if your conscience is working. It's not too late. Your conscience will do one or two things. It's going to accuse you, or it's going to excuse you. Romans 2:15. What do you mean by that, Brother Brooks? It's going to say you're guilty. Or you're going to say, you're not guilty. You haven't done that. And so you got a clear conscience. That's what we call it. That's why baptism is so powerful. 1 Peter 3:21. It's an answer to a good conscience. So when we go get baptized, we know that all the guilt from the wrong we've done, God has relieved us of it. He's forgiven us of it. Same thing happens every day of our life. When we are able to confess our faults, we're able to say I messed up, and we know God will forgive us. It clears our conscience. So here's Peter. He's considered a thing. that just happened to him. And that's what I'm proposing. When you've been kept somewhere, you've been in this same place all your life, drug addiction, alcohol, infidelity, unfaithfulness to God, cheating on your taxes, doing things you know just not right, you do it year after year after year. The intent is to keep you right there. Because Jesus said, if you die in your sins, why didn't you can't come? He said, Brother Brooks, this is a tough lesson. Well, is it really? Or is it just the truth? Is the truth tough? The truth is tough. When people are not faithful to God, the truth is tough. And were you faithful before the pandemic? Are you on the call now every Sunday? But when we were worshiping at the building, you wasn't going every Sunday. You came here occasionally. This is the time to repent. Don't you see what you're missing out on when it comes to God's word helping you? Can't you see the importance? Will you consider the thing? Can you consider what God brought you through, as Brother Smith talked about in the prayer? Like, he gave us grace and mercy at times when we didn't deserve it. And you can't look back in your life like Peter just looked back. He went through two wards, and then he got to a gate, and the gate opened. Can you look back in your life and see where you've been, where you came from, and where you are today, my friends? Here's Peter. He says he considered the thing, verse 12. After he did it, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Notice this. Where many, where they at? Where they at? They're at the house. Where are we at right now? At the house. Why were they at the house? Because they were killing them. Just like COVID is doing, you all, it's killing people. And yes, we're at the house. But do not be shook up by what people say when you got biblical examples where people had to go home for a while. And to God, one day is 1,000 years. One day. We've been at home for almost a year. That's nothing to God. And we're supposed to protect each other. And so here they are. They're at home. What are they doing? Praying. You can't stop us from praying no matter where we are. You can't stop. And like I said last week, thank God you can be a blind man and still hear the truth. You can hear the God word. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Hearing by the word of God. No one should have drove out there on ice. Why? Why drive on ice and risk killing yourself and other people around you? God don't expect you to do that. If it was ice on the street this morning, would you go to the building? Did anybody drive in the ice? No, because we were warned not to. That's what's going on with these people at home. And they're there, but it didn't stop them from praying. We were praying when we was all stuck in our house, lights out and ice on the roads. What should we be doing no matter what the conditions are? No matter what the conditions are, we are men and women who can pray to God. And that's what we should be doing. This is what the church was doing here. They're at the house of Mary. In verse 13, Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. How could she recognize Peter's voice? You know, there are people who know me because they know my voice. I don't know. I don't even know who they are. They hear me. Yes, that's Brother Brooks. When the man of God stand like Peter stood, boldly and preached, people should know his voice. I want you to know my voice. You should know my voice. A man of God who proclaims the word of God is a man of God. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Notice this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished God used men to use their voices to preach the oracles of God. If any man speak, Peter says, let him speak as the oracles of God. You think we bring all these preachers on from Nationwide? All of them have voices. None of them are the same. Everybody uniquely different. They knew Peter wasn't James. Peter was a proclaimer of the word. This woman, she knew his voice. And I would say to every preacher on the call, every brother on the call, you should desire that the church know your voice. They know your voice as a preacher. They know your voice as a member of the church. They know your voice because you read the scriptures. They know your voice because you pray for us. They know your voice because you're up front leading. They know your voice because you're working around the table. We ought to have more men doing the communion on Sunday morning. They ought to know your voice. They ought to know our voices because we are in the leadership role. I'm talking to the brothers who sit back and nobody know your voice. They don't know you. When you going to let them know your voice, hear your voice, speaking up for God? Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. They ought to know your voice as an elder, upcoming preacher, upcoming deacon, upcoming brother in the church. You know, a brother who will stand up and stand for God and let the people know his voice is being heard. She knew his voice. She opened not the gate for gladness. She was too excited. She ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She never saw him. She said, heard his voice. Said, he's Peter's at the door. And they said unto her, daughter, man, girl, you crazy. That's what we say today. That girl crazy right there. But she constantly affirmed, no. And it was even so. Then they said, no, it's his angel. People didn't believe it either. But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Why did Peter keep knocking? Peter continued to get to the people that he loved. And I will be like that. I will continue to get to the people I love, to get the gospel to the world, to get to the congregation of the people who have entrusted their souls to me. That I teach them, get in there with them. He wanted to get in there with them. He know they've been praying for him. You know how many of you, I know you pray for me. I know you do. I know that. They saw him and were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold me in the way, he said, shh, be quiet. Declared them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things to James, to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Somebody here this morning kept in prison. You need deliverance from the soldiers of pain in your life. Is there trouble surrounding your life? Do it seem like every time you turn around, another soldier got you locked down with chains in pain in life? Perhaps there's a young lady on the call. You've been kept in the prison, feeling unwanted. No, but you can't get a husband. You feel like you're not loved. You feel like you're not pretty. You feel like you're not all you want to be. Maybe that's just a soldier got you chained down. When you see beauty, it's from the inside, my friend. When you know who you are as a child of God, you're somebody. And maybe you just need to be loose from that chain of insecurity or low self-esteem, or you'll be right where you are. Maybe you just need to get up, put your clothes on, and leave the prison. You need to get out of it. Get out of this situation, or you'll be kept there. See who you are. Reach your full potential. How do you do that? What did Peter have going for him? He had God on his side. He had God on his side. Who on the call this morning need to be loose from chains of problems. You've been kept trapped and bound by the life situations that you got yourself into. Your past, you got a felony record. You don't feel like you can do nothing no more. They'll call you locked down because you're in prison. You kept right there. Yeah, you made a mistake. Yes, you may have a felony charge on you, on your books. That don't mean prayer can't change them. Maybe you just haven't given yourself to God yet. And God is just waiting. Jesus is calling, come to me. Oh, you're the labor and heavy laden, I'll give you this. But you ain't answering the call. You haven't been baptized. You're not serving him. You don't worship. You want to obey him. You will never get up off of your prison cell. You're going to be there until you respond to God. Trapped by problems, chained by some crisis of some sort that bound you. Seemingly no way out. Chained by your own situation that you got yourself into. A young lady pregnant. Unmarried, pregnant. Consider an abortion. And the world said, that's fine. America says, hey, that's good. We'll give you a clinic to go to kill your baby. So you can be kept in that situation you're in. The baby didn't do anything wrong. He's just taking a life. That's your situation. You're in your prison. You need to be free. Many on the call know that all of us got sin issues. Y'all know that, right? Every one of us got sin issues. But you can't be at peace until you let God move in your life. You're not at peace with God as long as you got sin in your life. And you're not doing anything about it. I always like to think of, say, what do you got over everybody else? I'm trying. I mean, when do you start trying? When do the person just start trying God? When you realize where you're at. When you realize when you're in prison. When you realize that the devil wants you to be kept right there and don't get up from that bed. He wants you to stay locked down by all of your issues in your life. The fact that you can't forgive somebody. The fact that you can't get over what someone has done to you. The fact that you can't love your enemy. The fact that you can't love your neighbor. And the devil wants you to stay like that. He wants you to be kept locked down by the cold heart of unforgiveness. No mercy. No long suffering. Many marriages are falling apart because somebody in that marriage cannot let go of what someone done to them, the other spouse done. Or we can't come together in love for each other. You're going to be kept in that condition, kept in sleeping in separate rooms, kept from loving each other, kept from loving each other, spending the last time of your life together in love and spending time together and cherishing the relationship, cherishing what you have. Because either one of you or both of you are kept in the prison of your past. Many of you are living in your past. You have something that happened in your past. I may not have named it, but you know what it is. And you can't let go of it. You have refused to let go of it. Why? Because you kept in your prison. You right where the devil wants you to be at. You need prayer. Your heart is sad. You feel guilty because of the prison of sin, locked by sin. But here's my message to you in this lesson. The focus is not on Peter's faith. He had faith. Even though he was able to sleep, I know he was asleep when the angel showed up, he wasn't stirred. He was cutting off heads. Peter was in a good place, obviously, with God. If he was really in fear of his life, I don't think he would have slept that well. My focus is not on his miraculous deliverance. I'm not suggesting that the angel's going to come and take you out of your problem and lead you through the gates. That's not what I'm suggesting. My point and focus for all of us, again, including me, is that how long have you been kept in your situation? Don't you need God to answer prayers for you before you die like that? Don't you need the intercession of the saints? Don't you need the church praying for you? Don't you need us praying for you? Here's why. It's up to you to know you need it. It's up to you to see your undone condition. It's up to you to see what bed you're laying in. It's up to you to know you are locked down. It's up to you to know you got chains on you, shackles. And all God wants to do is loosen. He wants to take them up. The beginning of that is obedience to the gospel, being baptized for the remission of your sins. Or you're going to die right there in that prison cell. Until you get up, until you answer the angel. So what I'm speaking of is answer the word of God. It came from God. He gave it to God. The Spirit gave it to us. Until you decide to answer God, you're going to die right there in that prison. Until you, I'm just talking to those who are visitors. Until you are baptized and recognize that this book teaches that to save the in the church of Christ, you're going to die outside the church of Christ. Right there in your prison. Why? You ignored the scriptures. You ignored the Bible. You ignored it. Romans 10, Paul said, "My brother, my heart's prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He said, "But I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, not according to knowledge. For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness, what about to establish their own." Many people want God their way today. You're not going to get out of prison your way. It's only God's way. There was no way out of that prison until God sent the angel to step them through the walls and through the gate. The word of God gives us every step to get out. 5 steps. Hear it. Believe it. Repent. Step 4, confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Step 5, baptism. Step 6, keep living like God told you to live. Members of the church, focus is not on his fate. My focus is not on the miraculous deliverance. My focus is on the fact that God moved because of prayers. And that's why you need to ask for prayer. That's why we are to confess our faults. This is why. He said, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's James 5. It's the prayer of faith. James 5, verse 15 and 16. This is the purpose of it. Our confession to a false one another is to have a reciprocal relationship. Because I'm praying for you, you praying for me. I got faults, you got faults. Galatians 6, 1 said there are some who are overtaken in fault. He still say those of you who are spiritual, you restore that person in a spirit of meekness. And this is to remember in closing. In verse 18, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers with what was become of Peter. These people all messed up. The soldiers don't understand what done happened. People are alive. Look at the man. What's going on with that brother? How in the world did he get through that? And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded they should be put to death. He went down from Judea to Caesarea and their abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them, the Tyre and Sidon. They came one accord to him, having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, and desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne. He thinks he's really somebody. He's done something really good. Made an oration to the people. He's going to make a speech to the people. And the people gave shouts, and it is the voice of a God, little g, not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, talking about Herod, because he gave not glory, God the glory. And he was eaten of worms. He was eating the worms. See that? This man ain't going to get away with what he did. Not to God's child. He was eating with worms. And gave up the ghost. And he died. And the word of God, notice what happened, grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Herod. Look at that. What then happened to Herod? Why is this happening to Herod? Remember who was praying? Here's what we need to look at this. God not only took care of Peter, but he took care of his enemies. And that's what we need to remember. We don't have to take matters in our own hand when things are not right in the world. We turn it over to God. Sometimes we try to take our problems in our own hands, but all we have to do is seek the prayers of the church and let God deal with the problems. You know, with Peter, no doubt, after an experience like that, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord open to righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them to do evil. Wonder how Peter knew that. How did Peter know that? Well, you know, Peter was in the prison. He experienced that situation. He could speak of it because he understood it. He could speak of it because he knew it was God who brought him through. He could speak. Can you speak? Can you say prayers of the righteous availeth much? Can you say God is listening to the righteous prayers because you know of a surety, like Peter said, I know of a surety. The Lord has sent an angel. Can you say that? What was going on? The church was praying without ceasing. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. What is the most powerful thing we got right now for the world we're living in? For the COVID, for the cold weather, for all the things that are going on around us. Prayer. Prayer. That's what we got going for us. What about our enemies? Pray for them. What about the rulers of the world? Pray for them. What about the evil people? Pray. We ought to pray. So Peter was kept. Hopefully you enjoyed the lesson. I don't know. I wish I knew what to say. Come down your lane. I could have just came down with a whole bunch of stuff. I went down husband's lanes, wives' lanes, children's lanes, you name it. I could have just thought of everything I could call out if I had the time. I could go down everybody's lane, but I'll tell you what you do. Since you got your own way of thinking, your own mind, take yourself down your own memory lane and ask yourself, are you kept in prison? And then if you say yes, are you ready for deliverance? Do you know somebody that prayed for you already? You know whoever invited you to this car wanted you to obey the gospel. They praying that you obey. Somebody prayed for you. Got a song that says, somebody prayed for me. My mama prayed for me. My daddy prayed. I'm so glad my mama prayed for me. I'm so glad my preacher prayed for me. Somebody pray for me. I'm so glad my family at Hollow Heights prayed for me. I'm so glad everybody didn't walk out on my prayer request. I'm glad they didn't hang up on my prayer request. Somebody prayed for me. And I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. Otherwise, I'd have been kept in my prison. Peter was kept in prison. Are you? Do you want to desire? Do you desire to be free from your prison, veil of sin? How do you do that, Brother Brooks? You do that by recognizing that you're in it, first of all, that you need Jesus, and then you believe that God is calling you. He's done his part. He so loved you, John 3:16. That he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It was that Son who was born of a Virgin Mary, who grew up from a little boy doing his Father's will. The one who fed the hungry, gave sight to the blind, walked on the raging sea and said, "Peace be still," and the winds obeyed him. The one who had his last supper with his apostles, knowing that Judas was at the table. It was the same one who got down on his knees and washed the disciples' feet. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords girded a towel and washed the dirty feet of his disciples. He took the low road. It's the one who walked from there to Garden of Gethsemane, and there he prayed with strong cries and tears, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. He was obedient to his Father's will when he was able to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." I'm talking about the same one that was led from Garden of Eden and through a six trials, unjust trials at night, stood before Pilate. Pilate said, as I read earlier, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just man." The one who stood for the political leader of the world at the time, of Rome at that time, and who looked at the people and satisfied the people. He said that, how about Barabbas? The people said, "No, Jesus." And he beat him with a whip. And he beat him with that whip. Jesus was taking a whipping for you that you deserve. He was taking a whipping for me that I deserve. He didn't deserve that whipping. They gave him, left stripes all over his body, blood coming from the stripes. Then they led him to Calvary, wearing a crown of thorns, beaten, spit upon, and mocked and talked about. Stripped naked, hung between two thieves with no clothes on. They was gambling on his clothes. He couldn't have had them on when he was on the ground. He was up there between those two thieves with nails in his hands and his feet, and he would hang 6 hours. He would suffer on the cross, and from the cross, he would look out at his mother and say, "John, behold thy mother." He would look out at the people who were doing him wrong, who was killing him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He took care of the thief on one side. He said, the thief said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He let him out of the prison. He got him out of the prison. He was willing to get these folk out of their prisons. And then he went to his father and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He had mercy on them. He loved them. And he said, "Greater love and no man in this." They lay down his life for his friends. Aren't you glad he's your friend? Otherwise, you'd be kept in prison of sin. And you would die right there. Do you believe it? That he was on that cross? Do you believe they took the spear and pierced him in the side and out came blood and water? Did you have to be there to see it? Or will you believe it because the word of God teaches? And that blood and water is essential to saving you and giving you beginning, getting you out of that bed. That blood and water combination happens in baptism, Revelation 1:5. The eunuch said, Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 38, he said, "See, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" Ananias told his apostle Saul, Paul, who was known as Saul, "Rise, why tarriest thou? Be baptized. Wash away your sin." What's washing? Blood and water. Calling on the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. If you say you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, why wouldn't you believe in baptism? Why wouldn't you believe in the one church that he purchased with his own blood? Acts 20:28. Romans 16:16, Paul comes out and calls out what church it is. You don't have to be wondering, is it Baptist, Methodist, Catholic? It don't say that. It says the Church of Christ salutes you and all the kids. And that's what we believe in, churches of Christ. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all in you. One body, Ephesians 4:4. That body is the church, Colossians 1:18. Ephesians 1:22. Colossians 1:24. Tell us the body of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit all baptized into one body. You do what the Spirit say, you have the one baptism, it'll put you in the one church. You say, "Well, I'm not in the one church, but I've been baptized, Brother Brooks." Well, you didn't get the one baptism, my friend. You can't have the one baptism without doing what the one Spirit said. For by one Spirit, we are baptized into one church. So you're back into it. You're not in the Church of Christ. You didn't get the one baptism. You got wet, of course. Yes, you did. But you didn't get the one baptism. Otherwise, that would make God a liar. It's impossible for him to lie. So what should you do this morning? If you want out of this prison, are you going to stay right there? You do this for us. What you can hit 5-star on your phone, we get ready to sing the invitation song. Number one, to get out of that prison, you got to step one. You got to hear God's word, Romans 10:17. You got to hear specifically the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection story of the suffering Savior, Acts 15:7. Once you hear and believe that, coming from God's word, then step three is to repent, Luke 13:3. Jesus said, I tell you, neighbor, except you repent, y'all shall likewise perish. God is not willing that we perish, but that we all come to repentance. The Lord is not slack, 2 Peter 3:9, concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, while God waiting on you, not willing that any should perish, but that we come to repentance. There was a time when God winked at ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. We have to repent. Number four, step four out of that bed, is to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God as the eunuch did. In Acts 8:37, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. God said, Jesus said this, if you deny me, I'm going to deny you. So you have to make a confession that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God before me. After that, you got to go and follow the command to be baptized. We can do that today. We can have someone meet you at the building. We can baptize you today. You don't have to die like that. And then if you're a member of the church, do you need prayer? Do you need to confess your fault? Then do that. We're getting ready to sing the invitation song. Confess your fault. Don't be ashamed to ask for prayers. Don't be ashamed to ask for prayer. Matter of fact, I want to be first one for everybody to start asking. Now, we lost our second cousin that's right across the street, lived right across the street from my mother's house. We only have one more in our family from my dad's side that's still remaining in that generation. And as I talk to my family and friends, we understand their generations are coming and going. The generation I saw growing up, they're going out. And guess what? We're moving into a generation that's going out. How about you? You recognize that you're in a generation that's going out here? Look at your family portrait, you'll see. Go back and look at your mom and dad's family. See how many of them are still living. You want to know what's going on? All of us in a generation is passing one life at a time. Pray for my family as we go through this loss. But help us to be a reminder to all of us that it's heard, it was heard yesterday. But your day and my day will come. I hope you enjoyed the lesson this morning, brother. Brother Fred, if you give us an invitation song, all the callers on call, you can hit 5-star on your phone, and we will take your prayer request. We'll take your, this is an invitation song here. If you want to get baptized, hit 5-star. If you want to ask for prayers, hit 5-star. You want to make confession, hit 5-star. We'll help you if we can. May God bless you.